Would you pray with me, please? Father, once more we come before you seeking your grace, seeking your face, seeking to please you in all things. And Father, we thank you for the Medfords. We thank you for the life that they've spent serving you, serving others, working, trying to get others to come to your Son through faith. And Father, I pray that as they continue to serve, that you will meet their needs. That as a church, we will be able to help them financially and through our prayers. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with so many of our missionaries around the world serving you today. Serving you in a way that sometimes we just can't fathom because they're living under such different conditions in which we live. So, Father, encourage their hearts. Be with each of them. Supply their needs. I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless this church. We're seeking your direction. We want your will to be done. No matter what happens, Father, we want it to be pleasing unto you. And, Lord, I pray that you'll be with those that aren't with us this morning. I pray, God, that if it's because of the weather, you'll just comfort them. If it's because of health, you'll touch their lives. I pray, Father, no matter what the reason, your hand will be upon them. Now, Father, as we go into the sermon this morning, I pray that you will touch each one of us. Speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, as only you can do. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, for his sake. We love you and praise you. Amen. Well, this morning we're starting a new series. And the series is, What If? What If? Now, the idea behind this series is that we will explore the possibilities in making certain life changes within each of us. I came up with this idea when I realized that many of the things that many people consider impossible are really quite possible. We're able to do in the name of Jesus or under his power. But we're only able to do these things if we apply the promises of God, the promises that he's given each one of us in Scripture. We often consider some things out of reach when the truth is they are entirely within our reach. But we just don't have the faith, we don't have the courage to go on. Many times I've heard myself say something along these lines. Well, you know, I'm just that way. Take it or leave it. That's how I am. I've always been that way. Or perhaps you said, well, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. Because that's how God made me. And I guess I'll always be that way. Have you ever said that to yourself? I'm sure each of us have. Now, if I was talking about the color of my eyes, I was going to say color of hair, but I can't say that, or the color of my skin, that would probably be true, because these are things we're not able to change. But virtually every other aspect of our lives, we have the ability to change with the power of God, especially if you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Which I'm sadly to say, many Christians aren't. They have the Holy Spirit within them, but they don't claim the power that God has given us. So when I hear people say, as I'm guilty of saying, well, you know, I'm just that way, I can't help but think and respond, but what if you weren't that way? What if you were some other way? What if you allowed the power of God's Spirit to work within you? How would you be? What if you were to let go of some of your bad habits? Now, I'm not talking to just Bob or Ruth. I'm talking to every one of us. What if we were to let go of the bad habits that each of us have? What would your life be like then? Well, that's what this series is about. What if? What if? It's about exploring new possibilities that are available to each one of us. And today I'm going to ask the question, what if I forgave everyone? Have you ever thought about that? Let's pray. Father, you are our example in forgiveness. You've forgiven us completely, 100%. Yet we have a tendency to hold on to things, oh my. And I think everyone in this room is guilty of that. So Lord, as we look at your scriptures, as we look at some basic principles that you taught, help us to learn to forgive. Everyone, every time, all the time. And we'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the more I've studied this subject, the more I have realized the tendency that we have, and by we, I mean me, to harbor unforgiveness. Now, it's interesting that if you put the word unforgiveness into your word processor, it would come back with an underline. Because there really is no such word as unforgiveness. It doesn't exist, except in the Christian vocabulary. But just because it doesn't exist doesn't stop us from doing it, does it? Many times we kid ourselves into thinking that we have forgiven others. But we really haven't quite gotten there sometimes. We hold on to something. And when we don't let go, then there are problems that we face. Let me tell you something. If you hang on to unforgiveness, it will create problems for you. Not for the person you're not forgiving, but for you. It'll give you emotional torment. It'll give you bitterness. Perhaps you'll lose sleep over it. It's been said that harboring unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that it'll kill your enemies. That's because when you hang on to unforgiveness, it hurts you more than it hurts anyone else. Some people think that refusing to forgive gives them a kind of leverage over the person that they're not forgiving. But let me ask you, who really gets punished? You or the person you're not forgiving? He's the one that continues his life. But you're the one that continues to have that weight upon your shoulders. Back in November of 1930, the Chicago Examiner, that doesn't exist anymore, reported the story of Henry Havens. Now, Henry and his wife had been married for many years. And the story goes that because of an argument that Henry and his wife had, he vowed to stay in bed for the rest of his life. So Henry went to bed, put a blindfold over his face, because he didn't want to see his wife or hear her or talk to her, and he stayed there. Well, they reported that at the end of 7 years, he got so tired of staying in bed that he got up. He said enough was enough. He had been mad at her all of those years, and he remained mad at her for the rest of his life. He said, all right, if that's how you feel, I'm going to bed. I'm going to stay there. And he did for 7 years. Can you believe that? Now, I can, because my father was one who held grudges. I know of a man he held a grudge against for 25 years. And when I asked him what it was about, he didn't remember. But he knew he was mad at him. And he was never going to talk to him again. Now that is so sad. What happened? Henry lost 7 years of his life, didn't he? He lived for 7 years in darkness, no reading, no talking, no seeing the sunshine, no laughter, no visiting with friends, just 7 long years in misery. What did that prove? Duh. This illustrates, though, how foolish we are sometimes with our unforgiveness. It ultimately only hurts us and not the other person. His wife probably went on with life the way she always did. When we don't forgive folks, it eats us up. It keeps us awake at night. It destroys our good moods. But we, meanwhile, the other person, the one that we haven't forgiven, they just go on with their life. They probably don't even think about it. They're oblivious to what's happening in our lives. Folks, it does no good to hang on to unforgiveness. You might as just as well drank that poison and died, because that's exactly what you're doing. So what good will it do? Let's see if this will work. There it goes. If you're willing to put the principle of unforgiveness into practice, you're going to create a better life within yourselves. Well, you can ask yourself how. Well, first of all, you'll experience peace. That gnawing sensation that's in your body because of the unrestlessness that you have will go away. That unsettled sense of resentment and discontent will disappear. And you know what? It'll be replaced with a sense of peace. That peace that only comes from the Holy Spirit. Corrie ten Boom, you all remember that name. She was a wonderful lady back in World War II. She escaped the Nazis' death. She said this, "Forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and to realize the prisoner was you." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 tells us this, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." But Paul goes on to say this 2 verses later in verse 15. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." When we came to Christ, we weren't called to war, we were called to peace. The peace that passes all understanding, the Bible tells us. You see, there's a connection between forgiveness and peace. If there's no peace in your personal life, maybe it's because you have resentment or unforgiveness in your life. If there's no peace in your marriage or in your family, maybe it's because you're hanging on to past hurts. Problems that have arisen that you haven't forgiven or been forgiven for. If you want peace to reign in your life, then we need to learn to forgive fully, completely, 100%. Another benefit is this: you'll find it easier to forgive yourself. If you are a forgiving person and are willing to extend that mercy to others, and that's exactly what it is, then you'll find it easier to extend mercy to yourselves. Just within the past several months, I've been counseling with a woman that goes to another church. And she simply just couldn't let herself off the hook. Every day she thought about, why did I do this? Why did I do that? You know, if I only hadn't made that mistake, that one thing, if only I was different. Do you ever think that about yourself sometimes? Well, this woman refused to let these things go. She was blaming herself for a lot of things that she wasn't even responsible for. And the more we talked, the more it became obvious that she wasn't letting go of anything in her life. She was just holding on to everything. She remembered every failed expectation of every person that was ever close to her. How sad. She was angry with her parents because they weren't perfect parents. I don't know who is a perfect parent, actually. She was angry with her siblings. Just about typical sibling rivalries, you know, things that go on in life. She was angry with her boss because he broke promises to her. And she kept hanging on to these hurts. They were just gnawing at her and putting her down. You know, if you think about it, no wonder she couldn't forgive herself. She wasn't forgiving anyone else. Grace didn't exist in her world. But here's what she discovered. When she began letting other people off the hook, forgiving other people, giving them grace, she began to let herself off the hook as well. When she began giving others a clean slate, forgiving them entirely, for small things, for big things, for everything that they had done to her, and she started thinking better of herself, giving herself a clean slate. So if you struggle with guilt or regret, then maybe you need to take a look at yourselves to see if there's something in there that you're not forgiving yourself for. You might need to ask yourself the question, have I forgiven those who need to be forgiven? Well, this brings me to the next benefit that you need to see. You will experience the fullness of forgiveness. You know, sometimes, Jesus said things that were so simple, so straightforward, so direct, that would leave us only with two different choices. First choice is to take the words he said as purely as he said them, as directly as he said them, as exactly as he said them. Or you could spend a couple, 3 hours researching theologically, trying to see what he said. Was there a double meaning in there? Is there something that he really... Is there a hidden message, a hidden agenda? Most of the times, we need to take Jesus at face value. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. There's a very good example in Luke chapter 6. Jesus said this just as plain as day. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. He also said it in the Lord's Prayer, you'll remember. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you begin your journey with Him, the moment you accepted Him, your sins are all completely forgiven. Everything you've ever done, will do, or have done in the past, they're gone. They're wiped clean. He remembers them no more. That's why Jesus emphatically said this, forgive us as we forgive others. Now there's a principle here that we need to remember. You receive back what you give. Do you believe that? It's a fact. You give and you'll receive back what you give. That's why generous people seem to have enough to get by. Well, they even have more than enough, don't they? That's why people who are loving are surrounded by loving people all the time. Have you ever noticed that? People who love are surrounded by people who love them. It's just a fact of nature. It's a fact of Christ. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. When you hang on to unforgiveness, you're not just drinking poison in your relationships. You're drinking poison in your spiritual life as well. You're cutting yourself away from your right standing with God. You're breaking that relationship is what you're doing. You're cutting yourself away from a life of being blessed and a life of power with the Lord Jesus Christ. And conversely, when you live by the principle of forgiveness, you open the door that God will give you all that He wants to do because you're open to Him. So then the question comes up, how do I put this into practice? How do I do it? How do I forgive completely? So often I've gone up to people and I've wronged them, and they say, well, Doug, I forgive you. And then I hear gossip or scuttlebutt behind my back of what a rotten person I am. That's not forgiveness. How do I forgive? Well, you and I know that it's easier said than done, isn't it? We tend to hang on to those offenses. We tend to cling to them. Sometimes we just hide them. We hold them so near and dear to us. Jesus told this story. You remember this story. You know the outcome. You probably know the story better than I do. There was a king who decided to settle his open accounts one day. And he discovered that one of his servants owed him millions of dollars. So he went to this man and he said, I want your money. And the man said, I don't have any money. So the king decided that he would take his wife and children and house and savings account and everything the man owned and sell them, auction them off. And the man came and begged him. And what did the king do? He forgave him his debt. Forgave him his debt, entirely forgave him his debt. Then a short time later, this man had a servant who owed him a very small sum of money. And he demanded it. And what happened? The man said, I can't pay. So he put him into debtor's prison. And when the king heard about this, he was ticked. Ticked. So what did he do? He took this man and threw him into debtor's prison for the rest of his life, or at least until he could pay for it all. In Matthew 18, and verse 32 and 33, it says, you wicked servant, I cancel all the debt of yours because you begged me so. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had on you? He put this man back into prison then, the king did. Jesus said something very startling in Matthew 18 and verse 35. He said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Not just with words, but from your heart. I guess the moral of the story is that God takes forgiveness and mercy very seriously. Very seriously. And if you want to live a Christian life and you want to experience the benefits of a Christian life, if you want to walk in the sweet fellowship of God, then we need to forgive others completely and wholly. He expects you to show the same mercy and compassion and forgiveness on others as He shows on us. And when each of us came to Christ, our sins were erased, completely wiped clean. And He expects you to do the same thing with those that have erred against you. Well, let me give you some things to remember in applying the principle of forgiveness. The first thing is this. You forgive as God has forgiven you. These are the same words that Paul used in Ephesians 4:32. When he said this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in God, Christ God forgave you. How has God forgiven you? Totally. Completely. 100%. And then he goes on to say in Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. And in Isaiah 38:17, he says, you have put all of my sins behind your back. Let me ask you a question. What's behind my back? Can anybody tell?
Your hands.
My hands? I got some money. But nobody knew that. $3 to be exact. But when your hands are behind your back, people can't tell, can they, what's in them? I used to play that with my kids. What's in the hand? I do it with my dog now. Somehow he finds out, he knows. But God has forgiven each of us totally and completely. He never revisits the sin. Never, ever. But do we? I'm afraid we do. I'm afraid we do. There's an old legend about a woman who told her pastor that God speaks to her personally. And then he lets her know everything that he wants her to know. And the pastor said, is that so? Let me test you. I committed a very ugly sin in my youth. Go and pray to God and ask Him what that sin was. Well, the very next Sunday she came to church and the pastor asked her, did you ask God what that sin was? She said, yes, pastor, but I must have been mistaken. I must not listen to God because He told me He didn't remember. And he said, you do talk to God and He speaks to you. God does not remember our sins. He forgives and He forgets. And then the second thing I'd like you to remember is you forgive only who you need to forgive. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean there are a lot of people who struggle with unforgiveness over things that don't concern them. Do you remember Ted Haggard, pastor in Colorado, built a humongous church, got caught up a year or so ago in homosexual sin? I was at a preacher's meeting after this happened, and another pastor said to me, you know, Doug, I struggle with Ted Haggard's sin. I've known about his sin, and, you know, finally I've forgiven him. Well, it's interesting because this pastor had never met Ted Haggard. All he'd done is read about him in the newspaper and heard about him on television. So I asked him, as sometimes I do with my big mouth, I said, Brother John, what caused you and Ted Haggard that you need to forgive him? What came between the two of you that you needed to forgive him? This guy had never met Ted Haggard. You see, here's the point. When someone commits a sin that doesn't involve any one of you or me, it's not up to us to forgive them, is it? No. You can pray for the restoration. You can pray for those that they've hurt. You can do all sorts of things. You can pray to the Lord that He will do whatever He needs to help that particular person. But it's not up to you to forgive them because it hasn't affected you. Jesus made this very clear in Matthew 18:15. When he said, if someone sins against you, then you need to deal with it. Then you need to deal with the offense. You need to forgive them. But if they haven't sinned against you personally, leave it alone. It's none of your business. Pray for the person, but you don't have to forgive them. Pray for the restoration. But don't put yourself higher than God, because that's exactly what you're doing. You need to ask yourself the question, does this situation involve me? If it does, then perhaps that person has sinned against you. But if it doesn't, in this case, you didn't even know the man. We need to leave it alone. And then the third thing, which is very important, and one thing that we very rarely do, is we need to forgive face to face. So often, that's so hard for us to do. Jesus said this in Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between you two. Just between the two. Don't involve the church. Don't involve anyone else. Now the Bible tells us in Matthew 18, puts out a step-by-step process. If that doesn't work, then you go to a brother and you seek counsel. And if that doesn't work, then you take it to the church. But the first thing is to go and seek him out one-on-one. Matthew 18 gives us very explicit instructions, and so many churches bypass that. I've been in churches where the pastors have publicly brought the person up before the congregation, even before they've had an opportunity to speak with them. That's wrong. That is not the right way to handle it. If you have erred against me or I have erred against you, let's get together and talk about it. And if that doesn't work, then you go to Art or Bob or somebody else and bring them together and deal with the situation. But the overwhelming majority of the time, we don't meet face to face. We just kind of talk behind their backs. Do you know what Joe and Joe so-and-so did to me? There's power and courage in sitting down with someone else and looking them eye to eye and say, can we resolve this situation? That's what God wants us to do. Well, let me ask you, what if you were to do this? What if you were to let go of the unforgiveness that so many people hang on to? That unforgiveness that's just gnawing away at our lives. What if we were to really treat others the way Jesus treated us? With mercy and compassion. What if we were to pray for reconciliation instead of praying a judgment upon them? Can you see how that would change our lives? Can you see how that would change the church of Jesus Christ? The body of believers? Can you see how that would make better relationships within the church? Folks, the only way we can do this effectively is that we go to God and want to be like Jesus. And only then can we approach each situation with a heart full of love instead of anger. With our minds set on helping that other person and ourselves, restoring them instead of hating them. Only then will we be like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, again, a passage of Scripture that we all know, that we've all heard, and we all need to put into practice. Father, help each of us not to keep bitterness in our hearts. If someone has wronged us, or if we've wronged someone else, help us to be like your Son and go to that person. And seek reconciliation. Lord, some of my best friends are people that I've had problems with. And after we've worked things out, we saw how stupid it was. How petty. And our relationships have grown through the years. Father, thank you for that. Instill these truths in each of our hearts so that if and when the situation arises, we have the knowledge to be like Jesus. Father, we love you and we praise you in His name. Amen.